Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's the Bucks. Like, there's no telling what kind of ground they're able to make up. But when it's all said and done, that was not the best that the Rockets could offer.
No.
And they were able to pull it out versus one of the best in the game.
James Harden was sitting there chilling with 12 points midway through the third. When you win in a game against the Bucks, that's the other part. Don't tell me the Bucks weren't playing hard. Don't tell me that wasn't a serious game for them. They were playing hard. Giannis was playing down the stretch. Middleton had one of the best games of his season. They were playing hard. And they still won that game. That's big, right? Like we're saying, man, if you are minimizing these two wins for the Rockets, I just think you're wrong. Those were huge wins.
Let me add one to that show. I think number one priority was that sixth seed or better, right? I mean, just avoiding the Clippers. But number two, I think coming out of the COVID-19 delay, I think the one big question NBA-wide is, where's your conditioning at? Yeah. Are your guys healthy? Are your guys ready to play? And clearly, fatigue was not a problem for the Rockets. They scored 139 in regulation Friday night, 150 total. Had to come back. Was it 12 points in – what was that? 12 points in how long? Minute something?
The Mavericks?
Yeah.
They were 12, like just over 2 minutes, I think, something like that.
So they made a push in the fourth. Not to mention in that game, they limited Dallas to 20 – points in the fourth quarter, which also allowed them to come back.
Eight in overtime. They were right.
Clearly fatigue was not a problem in that game, right? And then last night, as I mentioned, I just the number of three-pointers was nice. It was impressive. But the quality looks that I believe the system was generating. Because like you said, Harden was not on fire last night from a point standpoint.
No, Jeff Green just had practice shots in the corner. Him and PJ, right. Practice shot. Nobody was around. Just practice shot.
But they were trying to execute an offense, and that offense was generating really, really good looks from beyond the arc, which is exactly what the Rockets want to do. It's exactly what every team they play knows they want to do. And so they were executing that at a high level and beat one of the best teams in the NBA. Clearly, once again, fatigue was not a problem. Westbrook and Harden were on the floor getting after it the entire game. So whether we're talking about the sixth seed or the condition of the team, this weekend was impressive by the Rockets.
To your point of consistency, as we're talking here, don't minimize those two wins the Rockets got. They were huge. Kept them out of – all but certainly kept them out of the seventh seed to avoid the Clippers. And they proved, which is something big to themselves, that they can go out, beat a championship-level team, beat them late, and stop one of the best players in basketball. Because if you can hold down Giannis, you got to feel a lot better of being able to hold down LeBron late in a series because of those two guys are kind of similar players. But to go to your point that you made about conditioning, hell, Russell Westbrook said he felt like the last two games, their style, their play, they're wearing teams down late. He feels like he gets a feel on the court that teams are getting fatigued because of the pace they're playing with, and that's a part of why their defense picked up, that they were able to get an advantage. So not only are they conditioned this style and this pace, we heard D'Antoni saying, I want to play faster. Maybe we're seeing it late in game.
Well, I'm sure it was more of a scheme reason, but Lopez last night was hurting the Rockets. Well, I mean, his size
– nobody that can mess with it.
He was hurt. Say it again.
They just got nobody who could size-wise.
Right, right. Yeah, so that – That was a problem throughout the second half. And then at one point in time late in the game, they pull him out of the game. Now, I don't know if that had anything to do with fatigue and him not being able to keep up, but that's the kind of guy to me that when I hear guys are wearing down, like Jokic, like those are guys like the pace for three quarters is going to wear those kind of guys down. You're going to see the wear and tear on those guys in the fourth quarter. You're going to see the fatigue on those guys in the fourth quarter when they have to play the Rockets. I don't know if that's what Westbrook was talking about. I don't know if that's why they pulled Lopez out of the game, but you can definitely see where the style of play will take a toll on those types of players. The bigger guys that typically run well for big guys, but they ain't running well keeping up with the Rockets.
That's right. Ton this weekend. And I tell you what, Astros manager Dusty Baker, I think he's taken a beating early this season for his decision-making. And I got to say this, I don't have a single problem with anything he did this weekend. I'll explain coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, Clint, man, we may be on different sides of this. Houston, 713-572-4610. You can express yourself. Dusty Baker has been getting killed over this weekend. I've seen that on Astros Twitter a lot about how he handled the pitching staff, how he's handled extra innings. I thought, and we came in here and discussed it last Wednesday, he was awful against the Dodgers. The game last Wednesday, he was awful against the Dodgers. But this weekend, I don't agree with that. I do not agree that he caused them to lose or that he made mistakes. I think a lot of the things that happened over the weekend, Clint, were good decisions that just didn't work out. The three big major things people had issues with was Saturday, that he left Greinke in too long. I disagree with that. Greinke, going into the sixth inning, had a perfect game going and gave up two singles and a sac fly.
I liked your voice.
I love yours too, Zach. All right? Like, I mean, it's either Zach or rookies. Like, to me, yeah. I don't have a problem with that move. It just didn't work out. People were complaining about how he handled and brought Valdez back out last night in the game. And I had no problem with it. I felt like he was the best option. I don't think Presley was available with the cut on his finger yesterday. Obviously, Osuna wasn't available. And Blake Taylor, he wanted to stay away from, if you heard Dusty after the game. I didn't have a problem with that. I just didn't think it worked out. And then many people had issues with him, his lack of bunting or how he handled the extra innings rules yesterday. And I didn't think he did. I think you play for more than one run when you're the road team. And I did not have a problem with Dusty Baker and his decision-making this weekend against the Angels. But many people are crushing him and saying he cost them chances to win.
Well, I personally don't. I hesitate. Let me say that. I hesitate to get into the debate of, well, whether you should have pulled a guy or shouldn't have pulled a guy. I think there's situations that we watch and we go, well, by that way of thinking, this guy, Framber Valdez should not have went. How many innings did he go last night?
Seven.
Seven innings. So by that thought, he shouldn't have gone that many innings. But I love the fact that he left him in. He was rocking and rolling. Just keep on keeping on. And so
I didn't have really a lot of choices.
Well, you add into the pitching, the rotation, the staff across the board. Like, it's hard for me to look at a manager's job and go what a manager does on a day-to-day basis in making decisions with a pitching staff when it looks like the Astros pitching staff right now. He's just trying to piece games together. He's trying to figure – and along the way, he's trying to figure out what some of these young guys can do, whether Josh James is a starter, which I think is blatantly obvious he's not, is he better coming out of the pen? I mean, those are the kind of decisions that he's trying to make while trying to win baseball games that are damn near three times as valuable than a regular MLB season game. I mean, there's just a lot going on. So to boil this thing down to, well, Dusty shouldn't have left him in that long, or Dusty should have left him in longer. To me, that's a tad bit unfair to me. Now, the extra inning rules,
we just see it.
Like the only time you should play for more than one run is if you're down by more than one run. To me, if you're down by
a run.
That's
when you think you should play for more than one when you're down by one?
Yeah, you always try to win the game. But to be if I'm sitting there and it's a tie game and I get to start with a runner on second, to play for more than that run crossing home plate to me is like it don't even make sense. Like I look at it and go, get that run across the plate and I've got a chance to win a game. If I can go out there and get three outs, then I've got a chance to win a game. To not get a run at all across the plate and then go, well, I was playing for two or I was playing for three, to me, that just doesn't – like, I can't wrap my head around that and make that make sense. So, yeah, we're going to disagree. We're going to disagree on the offensive side of this conversation.
713-572-4610. I didn't have a problem with anything that Dusty Baker did over the weekend. What's your thought from the 281 Dusty's old ass gotta go was the latest text. What's your thought on that, Clint? Like, I look at it, and I think a lot of people – who have started to break down and look at this extra inning rule. To me, it's very similar to college football's overtime. When you are the team that goes first, you're trying to play for – I don't think you try to play for a field goal. You're trying to play for a touchdown so that you force the other team to not just be able to go and kick a field goal. So to me, I think when you are the road team – because the advantage is so big for the home team, to me, I don't think you bunt to give away an out to just play for one, because then they come up, and I think it's just so much more easier for the home team when they know they just got to get one run to tie the game. I think at that point, I'm not going to bunt Altuve, even though –
I'm bunting Altuve.
Even though he needs a day off. But I'm not going to bunt Altuve. I'm not bunting Correa, and I'm not bunting Yuli Gurriel. Those are the guys who came up to start innings when they went into extra innings over the weekend. I just think when you are the road team, you got to go for more than one.
They didn't bunt. We didn't bunt. You know, nobody bunted.
What's the thought process between the home and road? I obviously understand the home team bats last. I get that. So if you score, the game's over. But when it comes to manufacturing a run and playing small ball, get a run across the plate, what is the thought process of, because we're on the road, we're not going to play for one? I don't understand that thought. Like I've heard several. You're not the only one. I've heard several people bring up, well, I would play it this way on the road or this way at home, and I'm thinking, what's ultimately the goal is to get one more run than they do. So if one method of play gives you a better chance or puts you in a better position to get that one run, then why does it change on the road or at home?
Yeah, because to me, when you're the road team, I think you're thinking more than just one run. To me, just one run, just saying one run is going to win it. I don't – like, to me, in my mind, I would think the way that I would play, and I think many managers or people are saying managers should play it is, the home team's going to score that run. Like you're going to need a great pitching performance. And the Astros got it from Blake Taylor to end the game. You need a great pitching performance to stop them from scoring one run, because you can bunt and get that. That's easy. For me, when you're the road team, I'm not going to purposely give up an out to just get one run. Because when you give up an out, when you just give it up and you say, all right, I'm going to bunt Altuve, who's generally one of my best hitters. I'm going to bunt Correa just to get one run. To me, I think you put yourself in a situation where it's just like, to me, in overtime, I'm just going to just get this thing as close to the 25 so I can kick a field goal. That's what it's like, because they know what you're going to get. To me, you play for the big inning when you're the road team.
Whew, that's a tough one for me to swallow, Show. That's tough for me to get down with. Especially when you add in, like, the awareness aspect of knowing – Altuve's struggling right now. I'm bunting Altuve all day, all week, and twice on Sundays.
And I don't think that's a killer how bad he's swinging the bat. If you want to do that, I wouldn't. I would play for the bigger inning.
I would play for the bigger inning with Correa. Correa's hot. He's seeing the ball well. I would play for the big inning. or I would play for the I would weigh the risk and say, well, even if he just hits one sharp and it's deep enough, then you still run, you still move the runner from second to third. You gave up the out in a different way, but you trust the fact that Correa is seeing the ball well enough to get that accomplished. Right now, I don't trust the way that, and you and I have discussed this, the way that Altuve's swinging the bat, he's coming out of his shoes in times when he should be trying to push the ball to right field. And we're watching, hell, we watched the Angels. Was it last night or the night before last
week? Saturday night they perfected it perfectly. Yeah. The Angels did. They had their batter. He went and hit the other way. They let him hit away. They didn't bunt him, but they let him hit the other way, and he drove the ball to the other opposite side of the field, put himself first and third.
Right, and then
it was over.
And then a sacrifice fly by the next batter ended up scoring the winner run. I mean, that to me, those are the kind of things that I go, okay, they had a plan. They executed the plan. They won the game. I mean, when Altuve's up there with the guy at second, he's coming out of his shoes swinging it at pitches. To me, I'm just going, what are we doing? He's clearly not seeing the ball well. He's clearly not even trying to execute pushing the ball to opposite field, whether it be a fly ball or whether it be a ground ball or a base hit or a double in the gap. He's not trying to execute those things. So, yeah, I question how that part of the game that the Astros are playing is being executed, or what the plan is in those situations, because it doesn't seem to be consistent. It doesn't seem to be definitely doesn't seem to be being executed by all parties involved.
Yeah, I mean, he's just not good. Altuve's just not coming up with the plan. He's just not going up. His at bat the other game against the Dodgers, when he came up not even appearing to look to try to go the other way, was terrible. That was terrible. But to me, that still wouldn't stop me in that scenario to try to go for the big inning. Here from the text line, 713-572-4610, you can jump in. I totally agree with Clint, play for one run, because that's usually enough in extra innings. How often are multiple runs scored in extra innings? Well, it's a little different when you have a guy starting at second base. To me, it's a little different when you have someone starting at second base. And the numbers that people have put out is you should if you're the road team in this situation, you shouldn't just play for one.
There's numbers out there that explain that?
Analytics that have explained it from the jump that you should play, the road team should play for the big inning and shouldn't bunt to give up an out immediately just to get the runner over to third.
Wow.
As opposed to the home team. With the Angels, you saw they came up, they got the Astros out without giving up a run, and it was just completely simply easy for them to just play for one run. You do it then. I agree with that tactic. I could some people saying, I just get out of there, give me a run. I'll just get out of there and I'll just take my chances with that. That's fine. But
if I'm the visiting team, let me take the field with a one run cushion instead of a tie ball game where all they got to do is push a run across the plate. That's my thought. It's like let me take the diamond in the bottom of the 10th or the bottom of the 11th, and I've got a one run cushion, and let me give it a shot. Let me see if I can get out of here with a W. I can't get down with the big inning aspect of things.
Yeah. 713-572-4610. Like we said, I didn't have any issues at all. Extra innings, at the plate, on the mound, anything that Dusty Baker did over the weekend, I think many people on Astros Twitter did. I got no problem with it. Here we go. Ocho LOL. I damn sure am bunting if analytics say otherwise. All right, Ocho, you do your thing. All right, Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. I had to tell you, boys, it was a start of a new time for me this weekend. I told you Friday, I'm trying to get my body together, trying to get my sexy back, you know, like Justin Timberlake talked about. I'm trying to get my sexy back. And I just need to get healthy. You know, I talked to my guys at Low T. Kenny and them told me at Low T, I got some things that I need to get myself in better shape to help my health, and I need to do that. So me and the wife came up with this idea this 12-month challenge. We said we're going to write a bunch of different things and put it in a hat, Clint, 12 different things that are health things that we're going to try to maintain for a month in hopes that these are things that we can try to maintain past it, right, that keep us healthier. So we put 12 things in a hat, and we started it August 1st. And the first thing that we pulled out of the hat for this month is no sugar.
No sugar.
No sugars that aren't natural. Fruit, honey, that's about it. But like cake, cheesecake. God, that sounds good, doesn't it?
Yes.
Ice cream. The big one for me, drinks, pop, beer. Like, oh.
Here's what I suggest.
I started it Saturday. Woo!
Can I make a couple suggestions? Obviously, load up on the fruits, particularly the sweeter ones.
Load them up.
Load up on the fruit. Strawberries are a good one. They can sometimes cure the sweet tooth. The other deal, Chief, you better get you some old rice cakes, crunchy peanut butter, and honey.
My wife bought the peanut butter with no sugar.
That's fine. I'm telling you. And when you get that craving at night, hit that rice cake and that peanut butter and honey. You get your sweet tooth. You can eat quite a bit of it, so it fills you up a little bit, and it's natural. It'll run through you. That's good, baby. That would be, if I can't have any kind of, which I'm not a big sweets guy anyway, but if I can't have sweets, those are the things that just cure my.
I'm generally not a sweets person, but like I told you, it's the drinks. It's the drinks for me, like, because it's no Gatorade, like no regular Gatorade, no juice.
You got some little kid tendencies when it comes to your drinks.
Yeah, I do, man. I freeze pop at night. I get a cup, pour it in there, baby, freeze it, come back about 2 hours later.
Hey, you got that deal, like, I can hear a little show right now. Dad, can we stop at the stop and go, I want a cream soda. Remember cream sodas back in the day?
Yeah.
Little root beers. I know Lil Show ain't drinking no cream soda.
No, but he like root beer.
Root beer. Now, I want a root beer, Daddy. I bet you do that. I bet you look over at Courtney and go, Court, I'm gonna hit this C store up here and give me a couple cherry cokes for the ride to the house.
Freeze one of them later on tonight, baby.
Yeah,
that's
a problem.
Nah, man, it's tough. We've got some tough ones in there.
No sugar.
Yeah, we threw six at a piece. My wife threw in vegan for a month. Oh God, I'm really hating when that month gets pulled. No bread. Oh, hey, that's gonna,
all
that's
I know.
A no
is
bread
this,
one.
This better not affect the show here. Better not show up for a
Don't
bad attitude.
At me like that.
Better not show up for a show on a Wednesday and grumpier than hell because Courtney won't let you eat any sugar.
If you need your cherry cokes,
I won't tell anybody. I'll buy them and I'll leave them in the studio.
What a terrible teammate you are.
Don't come in
are
here hangry,
kidding me?
Bro.
That's
I
right.
just poured my heart out to you. Told to the people at Low T, helped me out, told me I got some issues. And you go tell me if you need a half a cherry coke, I won't tell nobody.
Look, I'm all about you. I'm all about you bettering yourself. But when it starts boiling over into my career, yeah, I'm out. I'm out. I'm going to bring you some cherry cokes, Chief.
I'm not drinking them cherry cokes. I can't. Really, man. Wild cherry Pepsi, too. They're nice.
Is that your favorite? What's your favorite soda?
I think it is my favorite pop. I believe is cherry Coke. I think I go cherry Coke. Ooh, and I like to go to restaurants that make it themselves, and they put in Coke and then put in the cherry flavoring.
Oh, what about the vanilla? Was it vanilla Coke or vanilla Dr. Pepper?
I'm not in that.
Which
vanilla
one was
Coke,
it?
Vanilla Coke, man. Vanilla Coke is good.
Yeah, back in the day when I was about 12, I think vanilla Cokes and vanilla Dr. Peppers were really tasty.
And she made some pancakes this weekend, and I was looking at that syrup.
That's no-go?
Syrup? Hell no, I can't eat no damn syrup.
Well, then what'd you do with it?
They make sugar-free syrup, bro.
Well, we didn't have sugar-free syrup at the house. I had eggs and some toast.
But who put you on the old sugar-free diet and then whips up pancakes for breakfast?
Well, the kids ate it.
Oh, I forgot you had two. You had three. We had three of them. Little one ain't eating no pancakes.
No pancakes, but yeah, I'm fighting through it, baby. No sugar.
Stay strong, bud.
Yes, baby. The only time you might need to worry about me coming in hungry is that month where it's only 1,500 calories.
Oof, that'd be awful.
That's going to be the fight. All right, coming up, the stories you need to know, Houston. The Big 3 at 3 coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.